legendary Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, Laramie Guitars presents two verses in a chorus shy of a hit song. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino
and the Music Row Show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Music Row Show. Brought to you by LaRaVey Guitars, as always. We love those guys. The number to call in is 800-688-9522. You can also email us into the show at mail@themusicrowshow.com.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. If you're just tuning in, you missed some serious schooling by Ralph Murphy.
Yeah.
Always good to visit with him. So, Hino, who's our guest this hour?
I tell you what, we got Tony Wood in the studio with us tonight.
Whoop.
There aren't many writers in town with 23 number one songs and over 500 cuts to their credit, but our guest tonight has just that. Tony Wood is here with us tonight. He's one of the most prolific writers in contemporary Christian music today, with songs like This Is the Stuff for Francesca Battistelli, Yes, I Believe for Point of Grace, Find Your Wings for Mark Harris, and Fill the Earth for For Him. Along the way, Tony has won several Dove Awards and ASCAP Awards, and if all that weren't enough, he also has over 200 songs recorded for church choral collections and octavos. I'm not even sure what that is, but sounds good. He's your basic underachiever, I think. Tony Wood, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. It's a privilege to be here tonight. I've been a big fan of the show for a number of years.
Well, thanks for coming out. We're happy to have you. I love when we get our listener in.
Yeah. Now we got to send him a check.
Now who's listening?
You don't have to pay him tonight because he's here. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Hey, you know, you knew really early on that you were a songwriter. I mean, that you really loved that picture you had in your mind of the people in the rooms banging these songs out.
Yeah, the names in the small print on the little 45s that I used to buy.
Yeah. You took a winding road to get here.
A long way to Nashville. Yeah. I grew up in a small town, Chase City, Virginia. It's kind of dead center of the state on the North Carolina line. Nothing around but tobacco fields for a long, long way and one big recreational lake. Really kind of two streams from those years that were significant to me that led me into the writing thing. One was just pop radio at that time in the 70s. Oh, man, so many nights, junior high and high school, just laying in bed listening to WRL 101.5 out of Raleigh, North Carolina, which was a top 40 station, and just loved plain old pop music.
Right.
Run out and buy the records the next week and always looking in the tiny print and finding, you know what, James Taylor, Elton John, guys like that wrote all of their own songs. But there were a bunch of other names down there that I couldn't figure how they related in. Hal David, Jerry Goffin, Cynthia Weil, Will Jennings, Marilyn Allen Bergman, Barry Mann, Holland Dozier Holland, folks like that. And who were they? And,
why were their names on there?
Yeah, what's that about? Always kind of fascinated by that. And being in a small kind of farming community, church was a big part growing up of what we were going to do.
Sure.
Grew up two blocks away from First Baptist Church, Chase City, Virginia. And if in high school, junior high, high school, if we were going to have any fun in the summer, any hope of going to King's Dominion, Six Flags or something like that, you needed to be in youth choir at church so that you got to go out on the choir tour in the summer. And all my friends did. It was what we did. Always lots of rehearsals at church and time standing around the piano with about, just 20 or 30 of my good friends. And so that was a real stream somehow that started to form me, too. Uh-huh. And then, once rehearsals were over, small town, we didn't really have anywhere to go. So we just kind of keep hanging out and standing around the piano, start playing pop songs of the day. And some of my best friends, my brother, cousin, other people, we just started singing more and more together and started saying, hey, you want to maybe go out to some churches on our own and do our own kind of program? We had the choir thing that we did, which was fine. But then there was about five or six of us in a group at that time. We started pulling together songs that we just had learned along the way, put a program together. We'd go out to another church in the area, do three songs if it was a revival or something. Some churches said, hey, take the whole hour if you want it. So then it was like, okay, more.
Need more, yeah.
Yeah, and I started thinking about started really writing the songs based on the stories of my friends, people that were just around, started giving voice to the things that they wanted to say. I knew I do not have a performing bone in my body. I have no desire to be up in front of people and do it myself. I'm so happy to be behind the scenes. And so I found out really in high school that writing for them, if I get alone in my room, put down the message, I was writing melodies and all of that at that time. I've since really stopped. But if I could form the message, turn it over to them, let them stand up, talk about it, sing it, man, it was just as satisfying for me. The payoff was really the same. So I started doing that, wrote the first couple of songs for my friends to do.
Well, let's back up there because, I mean, I read about you and I love the fact that even though you write very spiritual music and that kind of stuff, your reason for taking up music and writing songs and everything at school kind of is the same as the rest of us. Tell us about that. What was her name?
Well, the very first song. That's because the first song I wrote.
Why would you ask that when his wife is right here? What's wrong with you?
It might be her.
He met her in college.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
She knows this. There's not a guy on the planet that sits down to a piano and start to write songs for the first time. And it's not a bad love song for whoever the girl is.
Right.
So those were absolutely the first songs
that
I wrote. Kind of really, really bad pop songs. And, and you know, and still writing some of them, but starting to also give voice to things of faith, things that I was learning and wanting to say. So the funny thing was, I think the first couple of songs that I wrote, my friends did, and we kind of inserted in the program. I don't know. I thought maybe I was going to go to jail for it or something, songwriting jail or something, because I didn't ask anybody permission. I just kind of did it, and they sang it. And then, you know, so this program of two songs of mine, three songs, and eventually, you know, a couple of months, we were doing like an hour's worth of music that I had written. And not only was I not being punished for doing it, but some people were kind of saying they liked it a little bit.
Wow.
And so, you know, that really fanned something. It was just a real affirmative time for me, the first couple of, you know, first dozen songs I wrote, people were saying nice things.
Wow. Hey, speaking of saying nice things, I think we have somebody on the phone.
We do. We've got Brian in Nashville. Brian, welcome to the Music Grow Show.
Guys, how y'all doing?
Doing awesome.
I'm sitting here listening to my friend Tony Wood, and really what Tony's failing to tell you is his previous life as a performer, as Antonio Woodward, he was a Latin polka singer.
Latin polka, really?
Yeah. And, you know, he's won numerous awards for that, but he stepped away from the mic to let others have that space. So.
Now, Brian, you sound kind of familiar.
You do sound familiar.
Oh, guys, Brian White. How are y'all doing?
Yeah. I thought so.
you've done some work with Tony before, haven't you?
I sure have, and you have got probably one of my favorite lyricists and just all around just guys with a knowledge that the craft of songwriting in town. He's the king, so we all learn from Tony.
Wow.
So, well, I wish we would have known about the polka.
Is that right?
The polka thing was a little bit before the underwear modeling years, but other than
that, you know, I always get those confused. Yeah. I don't know which came first, the underwear modeling or the polka.
Yeah, like, well, there's a reprint of the calendar coming out real soon. So, hey, thanks for calling in, Brian. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, guys, good to talk to you.
Thanks, Brian.
Good to hear from you, man.
All right,
talk to you soon. You know, I wish we would have known about the polka because he's quite the accordion player too.
We could have had us a time.
We could have jammed.
Let me tell you what. Well, I love the way how we kind of have something in common is that when you felt like at some point in your life you found your people. Yeah. Tell us what you meant by that.
Well, that was about coming to town. I wrote with a person one time who said that Nashville was their journey to find their people, and I understood it as soon as she said it because. I was a misfit in being this person who, taking up all my spare time I dream about verses and choruses and mm-hmm. bridges and pre-choruses and all that kind of stuff that, you know, just in my driving time around, I think about stuff like that. And I didn't really co-write any, maybe a song or two in high school. Kind of felt like maybe in college I might find somebody to write with. And just nobody where I was had any interest in it whatsoever. Even went to seminary for a number of years and continuing to write during that time and thinking I'll run into somebody, some music student that wants to write. And I think, you know, I think I may have co-written with one person during that whole time. Just,
wow.
Just nobody wanted to. I'm just kind of inviting them to. And so it really was. I had to come to Nashville to find my people.
Hmm. Well, talk about when you were in college, you would send songs. Do we have time for this? No, we don't. We're going to take a break. And we're going to come back and talk about those lovely letters of rejection you used to get from publishers
love
while
those.
You were in college. So stick around. We got lots more with Tony Wood right here on the Music Row Show.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show, brought to you by Larrivé Guitars, and this is the stuff. That's Francesca Bettacelli, doing a great song co-written by our guest this hour, Tony Wood. And that was a recent number one for the reigning Dove Award-winning Female Vocalist of the Year.
Nice. Congratulations. Thank you. Congratulations. Yeah. So, okay, we just congratulated you for a great big success. So let's talk about back in college. You're sending songs. You're sending lyric sheets to publishers in Nashville. And what encouragement did you find in those no thank yous?
Very little.
Yeah.
but the good thing was, I mean, it was a different day. It was the early to mid 80s. And, man, I was a subscriber to Songwriter magazine. And they listed four or five publishers every month. And I would find ones that seemed appropriate and mailed in a little cassette with always two songs and cleanly typewritten lyric to them. And actually, you know what? Got some responses during that day. I mean, I know those days are long gone.
Sure.
And like I heard someone say about it one time, is you wait by the mailbox to hear how great and original your submissions were. And what you get back is what was great was not original and what was original was not great.
Yeah.
But in that process, they really kind of downplayed the music, but there were tucked in some of the letters, nice comments about the words. If they had to like one better than the other, they liked the words. And, you know, seeing that two or three times became a defining thing for me because I thought, well, you know, I'm just functional at the music anyway. I can sit down and play a G chord and go, dun 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 dun, C, dun dun dun. I can form a melody if I have to. But if you ask me what I am passionate about the concept behind the song and the poetry and the artistry of how you unfold that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, if I'm a guy in small town in Virginia getting this letter saying the lyric may have been better than the music, then I bet somewhere on this same day out in America, there's a guy in Nebraska getting the letter that says, you know what, your music was much better than your lyric. And I started viewing myself as a lyricist at that point and thought, you know what, I'm going to go with what I think my strengths are. And I'm going to trust that I believe God's big enough that if I need to meet that guy in Nebraska or from wherever in America he is, that he can get us together at the right time. So that means I spent the next 4 or 5 years as a writer before coming to town just shaping words on white paper, just typed lyrics. Here's a verse. Here's a chorus. Here's a second verse. Here's two lines for a bridge, on the hope and the faith that there would be a time to walk into a room with somebody who would say, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I've been looking for. That just simplifies my job. And they could just sit down and start singing it and playing. And that was, you know, I consider that probably one of the first major wager I made along this road.
I'm just curious, when you're doing that, since you're, especially now that you're exclusively doing lyrics, I mean, are you thinking about any sort of melody in your head at all, in terms of like trying to come up with something that has a good, you know, meter and flow and all that, meter, all that stuff?
I hear bad melody in my head.
But you hear something
but
that guides
you. But I hear rhythm. I hear cadence. And fortunately, I don't hear one cadence for every song. It's not like every lyric I hand somebody goes da 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 da. I hear in 6/8. I hear in 4/4. Just all kind of different. I hear things that lend themselves more appropriately to up-tempo, to ballads, yeah.
I wonder, I think about when Monty Powell was here, and he said that he and Keith Urban play a drum track.
That's right, yeah.
And they just play that. When they sit down, that's what
they just have a loop
they work
going.
With.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you've ever done that. So there's no melody, but there's some sort of rhythm just kicking around in the room.
That's funny, because if I listen to the drum track, it would start dictating some things to me. I would be listening for, what is that feel telling me? And I would start trying to, you know, crack the code on what that is trying to be. I don't need that to, sat down this afternoon with a pad and an idea that I started yesterday driving around and just shaped it in the form that I think it's really going to work for. I don't need any drums or rhythms.
So let's talk about that, since your lovely wife's right here. So you get that idea, and you get home, and you're like, got an idea. Does the whole family say okay? And do you have a quiet room? And are you able to?
I do have an office in my house. I'm fortunate that the publisher that I work for, I've got a great office that I go to every day. Uh-huh. I kind of do two sessions, about a 10 o'clock and a 2 o'clock every day. And then I have in some ways never gotten over my schedule from the college days and from when we started having young kids. If I was going to write, because I had a full-time job during that time, I was going to have to write at night. So from about 10 to 1 still, I go into... okay, let's get creative. There's always a second verse in my world to write.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I feel like I always have homework. So there's the next thing in front of me.
But do you bounce stuff off your family when you've written something, or do they not care?
That's a rough question to ask. You know, not that they don't care.
I'm just thinking about what it's like in my house. You know, just
all right.
They're not
this isn't therapy session right now, Hino. Hold on a minute. This isn't therapy. All right, what was this full-time job you were working when you were first here? And
well, when we first moved to town, I finished up school, and my wife and I moved here. As I was finishing up school, I had this moment, because I didn't know a songwriter. I'd never met one. I didn't know how you go about getting your foot into the door. I just knew everything I read in Songwriter magazine pointed to Nashville somehow. And I was accumulating a lot of lyrics in folders in a box under my bed. And I hit the point of thinking, I can't imagine turning 50 and not knowing if I tried. I could handle being told no, but I couldn't live with myself not knowing and not trying. So we packed up and moved to town. Absolutely not knowing anybody, and got a little apartment off Briley Parkway. Friends that drove out with us took the U-Haul, drove it away, drove off into the sunset. We shut the apartment door, looked at one another, and kind of said, well, it feels like we ought to call somebody and tell them we're here. And there was nobody to call.
Wow.
So,
well, that's a pretty big leap of faith on your wife's part to just kind of pack up and
she
move away from family.
Faithful partner every mile of this journey.
Wow. So, I mean, yeah, I think I saw that you mentioned one time that, you know, the correlation between being foolish and faithful is actually
real close.
Real close. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So what was the day gig you were doing while you were?
Well, that took a couple of years to get that. We did really bad temp jobs for about a year and a half after being here. And I eventually got a job on a church staff.
Nice.
I loved teaching the Bible to kids. So that was a part of what I did as I still explored. That really was a true love. That wasn't like just something to do to put food on the table. I loved doing that. But I also was starting to seriously think, okay, how do I get a door open in songwriting? And, you know, and the first, it's really two things that were significant for me then. I feel like I started attending the University of the Bluebird Cafe, just going to that every night. Because the question for me was, coming to this town was, so how good is good?
Right.
And I would sit in the Bluebird many nights and just crushed by how good good was.
Right.
Just songs that just, oh my gosh, if that's the bar, I am so far from it. Moved deeply and yet crushed at my own ability, inability to get there. And night after night, you know what? They do the last song. You walk out into the parking lot, look out on Hillsboro, and the cold night wind would blow. And something would stir within me that said, well, you know what? Maybe I can. I think I can. And it was this tear you down, build you up thing night after night. So Bluebird was so important for me. The other thing was there was a workshop for Christian writers that ASCAP was offering in the fall, and they still do. And I went to that, and it was a number of panels of artists and publishers and A&R guys and all that stuff. And then there were two quotes that were a part of that. One guy one night said, so what do you like better, writing or having written? Because the guy who likes having written will always show you the song he wrote 6 years ago.
Right.
And he's still pushing that song. And I knew something clearly in that moment. I'm a guy who loves writing.
Right.
It is the next song that I am most passionate about. It's what's ahead. That's what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about songs from 10 years ago. I'm grateful for some moments that I'm proud of along the way, but that's not what excites me, man. Tomorrow morning, you know, I've got a 10 o'clock appointment. That's what I want to get to. So that was one. And one guy said in a panel there one night, the hardest meeting to get in Nashville with the publisher is not the first meeting. It's the second meeting.
Yep.
And why is that?
Well, because they'll listen one time.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not there, the next time the phone rings, they're probably not going to take that call. And that terrified me in that moment because I'm not an aggressive guy by nature. I am Mr. Behind the Scenes and in the background. And I knew it was going to take a moment at some point in this town for me to kind of cowboy up and go initiate with a publisher. And I wanted to be ready when that time was. And I didn't know if I was ready. And I was kind of scared of my own ignorance. So, you know, I take a couple of weeks and think about that. I called up Tom Long, who was the ASCAP representative at that point, who had sponsored that workshop. And I said, Tom, Tony, I was in your workshop. You probably don't know me. I was real quiet and sat in the back. But one of the guys said, the hardest meeting to get with a publisher is not the first meeting, it's the second meeting. Tom, I believe that's true. I need somebody to tell me when I'm ready. Tom, will you be that man for me? There's the big question. That was, you know,
click.
That was my moment. And Tom said, well, nobody's ever asked me that before. Tell you what, every 2 or 3 months, come by the office, bring me the latest things that you've written, and I'll take a look at them. And so I said, all right, here we go. So I, you know, keep writing. Called him up in a couple of months, walked in, 3 pieces of typed paper. This is the latest. This is what I've shaped. Put him on his desk. He took about 5 minutes. I'm sitting across from him. He's reading them, flipping back, reading. He looks up and says, you're ready. I got some people you need to meet. Get in the car. I said, Tom, give me a minute. I went down the hall to the bathroom, took a few minutes, cried, got it out of my system, came back, and he drove me to 4 of the publishers in Nashville, Christian music publishers, major publishers. I knew who they were, who they were taking me to. I knew who their staff writers were. I knew what their recent successes were. He took me and made that introduction for me. 2 of them dismissed me pretty quick. One of them spent 40 minutes telling me how great they were at their job. That was a weird meeting. I still don't know what that was about. And the fourth one was a guy who looked at the three sheets of paper and said, you know what? Let me see if I can get some of my guys to write with you. And that guy was Michael Purrier, who was running Lorenz Creative Services at the time over on 40 Music Square East. And he said, you know, start dropping by some. And somebody had said in that workshop, you need to drink a publisher's coffee. And so I knew that that was my invitation to start to start drinking their coffee.
Meaning just be there at the office.
Just be there. Just find a reason to drop by on a Tuesday afternoon. Uh-huh. Stick your head in. Hey, anything up? I need to know. And he started getting writers. He was at a great place as a writer and as a publisher at that point. They were having things take off with Stephen Curtis Chapman, who they had signed. He had recently signed Marcus Hummon. And through the door and very much the same window as I was Danny Myrick, who's been a guest on here before. Yeah. And so we were writing a lot in those days. And, you know, it was everything I hoped. It was belief. It was somebody saying, yeah, I'll take a chance on you. And so I started writing there for a number of months, and he offered me my first deal.
That's awesome. Man.
Well, listen, we're going to need to take a quick break, but when we come back,
we're going to get a song.
Yeah,
right?
We're going to twist Tony's arm, see if we can get him to perform a little bit.
Well, you dragged the piano all the way up here.
I know.
I would
he
hope
might
he
feel
play
a
song.
Guilt him into it a little bit.
No
you know?
Kidding.
Anyway, we'll be back with Tony Wood here on the Music Row Show. Welcome back to the Music Row Show, brought to you by Larrivee Guitars, and that's a tune called Crazy Love by Hawk Nelson singing that. That was a number one single and a 2012 Dove Award nominee for Rock Song of the Year. And
nice.
That was co-written by our guest this hour, Tony Wood, whose arm we have been properly twisting here during the commercial break.
Which is bad because he plays piano.
Might put a damper on his piano playing, but we're going to ask him to play a tune for us. What do you feel like playing for us, Tony?
Going to try out a new song tonight.
Nice. We love that.
Yeah. It's just been recorded by Point of Grace on a record that comes out in May.
Great.
Hope I'm not jinxing it with that. They only recorded 10 songs, so I'm kind of trusting that it's on there. Wrote it with good buddy Chad Cates and Jeffrey East. They called me up one day and said, hey, we're on to something we like a lot, but we're kind of stuck. Will you come work with us on it? And they had a title they loved called Saving Jesus.
All right.
Bedside clock, 3:14, motel room, dead end street, red light upon the wall, off and on and off. His mind is racing, he can't sleep, tears soaking in the sheets. Alcohol and stubborn pride don't fill the emptiness inside. How long will this keep going on till you break and just can't take it anymore? How low do you have to go before your knees finally hit the floor? What do you think you're saving Jesus for? She'd laugh and say that ain't for me. Faith is only for the weak. And every time her mama prayed, she'd roll her eyes and walk away. Now she's face to face with fear. The doctors hearts break, hurt of tears. As her world comes crashing down, she wonders who to turn to. Finally hit the floor, and what do you think you're saving Jesus for? How long will this keep going on? Till you break and just can't take it anymore. How low do you have to go before your knees finally hit the floor? What do you think you're saving Jesus for? Saving Jesus for.
Yeah. Woo! Very nice. Very nice.
Thanks, guys. Perfect timing. All right, let's take a break. That was a great song. We're going to be back with one last segment with Tony Wood here on the Music Row Show.
I wanna do, my mouth just keeps on running, but I never follow through. I heard that true religion is love with hands and feet. I wanna find my own way to reach a world in need. Yeah, I've been captured by the unimportant.
All right, welcome back to the Music Row Show. I better start talking. I'm going to sit here and listen to the whole song. Welcome back. We're here with songwriter Tony Wood, and that's actually a tune called Make a Move by Royal Taylor, and that's the first single off the band's, or the number one single off the band's debut release. That's a cool tune. I like that a lot.
A lot of fun. Great guy.
Man, makes me want to dance, which horrifies everybody around me, but still.
It's fun to get to go to that place musically.
Yeah.
Not when he's doing it.
Yeah. Let me put
your nothing fun about that.
Yeah, not really. So, well, let's talk about lyrics real quick. You know, what are some of your pet peeves that you hear in lyrics from, you know, other writers, that kind of thing? I'm just curious what, since you're so focused on that one particular thing.
I got enough problems with myself as a lyric writer.
All right, what are your pet peeves about yourself?
What are your pet peeves?
You know what, for me, it's just all about, am I pressing deep enough? Is how deep into me and pulling stuff out? Because I think every song, it's real close to something Ralph was saying a while ago. Especially working in Christian music, man, you don't want to preach. And I'm really aware that that song that I just did comes as close to that as about anything I feel like I've ever written. But it was a really specific type of a song that can ask that pointed question at the
right
end. But every song is saying to somebody, it's confession. I have felt this way, and I'm daring to put it out there. Have you felt that way? You know, and we all very fearfully, timidly ask that because we're being vulnerable and putting it out there. And you want songs to be that, to kind of take a chance.
Yeah.
You think about the songs that you love growing up. It doesn't matter what kind of songs, country, pop, Christian, whatever. Somebody was kind of whispering something from deep in them that they felt. And you went, oh, my gosh. I'm not alone in this world feeling that. Somebody else has felt that. Man, that's a powerful loving, giving thing to be able to say to somebody that they, when they connect to what you feel.
Even if it's a negative thing, like a sad thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you've,
especially in that, because Christian music so many times addresses the difficult times of life. So to kind of throw out that lifeline that somebody can cling to in that point, I count it a great, you know, privilege, but a responsibility also to be truthful, to be compassionate, not to tell somebody how they should feel. They feel what they feel. But to try to speak truth into that in a way that is gracious and life-giving and redemptive, too.
Tony, what's your website? Let everybody know.
TonyWoodOnline.com.
Okay, now we have about 1 minute, but you were part of a cool concept CD a few years ago called Your Name, with Brian White,
who called in, and Ian Eskelin. Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about that real quick.
We created 10 songs around the names of God. Uh-huh. There was a big song called Your Name, and we were sitting around the office late, like 5:30 one day, talking about what a great song that was and other worship songs. And we just started thinking about the names of God. And, wow, what if we wrote a song called Healer? What if we wrote a song called Father? What if we wrote a song called Shepherd? And Ian Eskelin, who'd be a great guest sometime, is just a man on the spot, and you know, got 10 minutes. Let's write a song, and just starts going. And over the course of a couple of months, we shaped a record that came together. Really pleased with it.
That's cool. Where do we find that?
Integrity Records, in stores, online.
All right.
Nice.
This has been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
It.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And go to TonyWoodOnline.com. Find out all the great songs. There's just so many. We can't even mention them all. There's a lot of great songs he's written.
Speaking of great songs, you have 2 weeks to send us your song.
That's right.
A chance to win a Larrivé guitar. So
you don't want to pass that up.
That's right. Come on.
People are actually tweeting us asking, you know, hey, what rhymes with this? What rhymes with that? So you got to write the song on your own or with another co-writer.
If I co-write, you're automatically just...
We keep the guitar at that point. You know?
No, we don't.
But anyway, check us out on themusicrowshow.com. Find us on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all those great places. See you next week.